A Lifetime original podcast.
It's so gross that this is your favorite holiday. America sucks, Megan. You know America sucks.
It's not because America. It's because I like grilled food and fireworks.
I love a Lifetime movie. I said, is it sensual? She made it sensual.
There were a bunch of NBA players that committed insurance fraud, and I said victimless crime.
She's saucy today.
Fame trumps Jesus is truly what I learned.
Well, and especially when your family is like seven bitches.
Who is Naomi? Who is Babyface?
What's your name?
Tony.
She might be going into cardiac arrest. Get the defibrillator ready.
Hold on, T. You're gonna be okay.
Breathe, Tony. Breathe.
Is she gonna be okay?
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of I Love a Lifetime Movie. I am one of your hosts, Naomi Ekparakin, here with a woman who did a 10:30 p.m. stand-up show last night. Like she 25 years old, Megan Gailey. Megan, tell us what it is to be a survivor.
Truly a mistake. And it was like, you know when comedians who are absolute degenerates are like, shouldn't you be at home? That you should be at home. I did not get out of there until, and I was like all the way on the west side, 35 minutes with no traffic away. And I parked in a parking garage next door, $25 parking.
Oh, God.
I did not lose money last night because I got paid for, I had two shows last night. One of them was a benefit for the unhoused thrown by extremely rich realtors. Now, Naomi, you're laughing because that doesn't make any sense.
Oh my God, I love it. They were like, no, we only sell $2 million homes. But sometimes when we're showing, we have to walk over an unhoused person. And we thought, we should do something about this.
And we go, you're lowering the value. You're actually hurting my commission. Right. So it'd be better to get you housed. So that was why there was like a jazz band. There was a tap dancer and me in pleather pants. So that was an experience. When I walked in, it was like everyone, you know, we live a little, me especially, off the beaten path of the Hollywood scene. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and it's like all we do is go to our comedy shows, hang out with comedians.
Right.
Well, sometimes we have brushes with stardom, but it's like truly alert the presses,
right.
Get the whole family on the horn. We're telling them, you know, like we just got the golden ticket. So I walk into this show and I go, oh, this is Hollywood. Like everyone was so hot.
Yeah.
Everyone was dressed in a way that I thought, where do they get these clothes? You know, it was just like, it was something that was like not attainable to me. Mm-hmm. I chatted with a woman. My set right now is a lot about giving birth and having a baby. And so a gal came up to me, Olivia, I loved her. She had a 1 month old and she was out. She said she was leaking. This is our third kid. So in LA, three kids, you go, I mean, you're a mega millionaire.
Yeah.
And then I was like, where do you guys live? And she was like, the West Side. We're in Brentwood. And I'm like,
okay. Oh, yeah. That's why she can also be out in the first month. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's got full-time care. She said, I'm going to go see a show.
No, and she was so lovely. But I was like, should I have a second kid? And she was like, yes. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm asking this like, rich person. Like, of course she's saying yes. Yeah, everyone was so, so hot. There were like Netflix reality stars there. Okay. Not stars. Netflix reality people.
Love is Blind, The Ultimatum?
No, okay. Real Estate.
Okay, real estate, some Selling Sunsetters, perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so then I go across the street to do a weed show, but I'm not smoking weed because I'm getting over an illness. Mm-hmm. And I had to text to find out if I could do the show without smoking weed. Nothing more embarrassing. And then I'm trying to leave this parking garage. And it's one where you put your credit card in when you go in, and then you put your credit card in to have it let you out, and that's when it charges you.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't get a ticket. So there's no confusion. You put your card in, and then you put your card in.
Yeah. Those
two steps. Yep. And they're the exact same step.
Yep.
A man in camo compression pants.
Okay, no.
Cannot figure it out for upwards of 15 minutes.
Oh, no. And you're behind him. Oh, no.
I'm two cars behind him.
Oh, no.
And there's not security. I, parking garages, remember when there used to be like a person?
Yeah, it's like midnight.
No, no people.
Like, yeah.
This is how you know AI is not going to work. Because it's like, what manager do you yell at? You know, you're just yelling at a robot then. And so like a guy in a security thing starts walking out and he's like, I can't help you. He's like, you got to go to the front. So the man had to like walk all the way to the front of the hotel in his camo compression leggings on Sunset Boulevard. And then a man came up and I loved this man so much. A nice young black man. And I got up there to put my card in. And he goes, do you know what to do? I said, yes, it's very self-explanatory. And he goes, I know. And so I go, oh, so the issue was he didn't know what to do. And he was like, yeah.
Oh, God.
And I go, that was my gut based on his apparel. But I knew if I were to offer some advice, it was going to be like, no, it's not working. You know,
right,
like I didn't even.
No, don't go get involved.
And so we started laughing, making fun of him. And then I said, damn, camo pants.
Camo compression, though. Compression to me, I'm like, are these yes. LuLaRoe? You know?
And this is Sunset Boulevard. So you're not hunting. Unless you're hunting for some fake tittos.
Okay. Megan just said fake tittos. You guys. She's saucy today. She's saucy today.
So the man and I had a laugh and I got home at 12.
Wow. Wow. You're dedicated to your craft. You're dedicated to your craft.
Am I?
You are, girl. Because I'm getting up once a week, if that. And that's only if I feel like the vibes are right. I'm not just doing shows to do them. I like want to be like see people I know, or I want it to be like a nice space. Like, I just am like, I can't. I don't have it in me.
No, you're smart. You're protecting yourself, and not me. Not me.
Well, you guys, Megan and I are bringing you the last Black Music Month film, okay? And we're bringing it home with yet another icon, the legend Toni Braxton, okay? Mm. And this movie is called Toni Braxton Unbreak My Heart, and it's a Lifetime original that follows the Grammy Award-winning singer's journey from discovery to stardom, chronicling the untold story and measures that she went to make herself and her family whole again, becoming a global inspiration along the way. Okay, let's get into it because there's a lot to unpack with Toni. I'm obsessed with Toni Braxton and this movie told me so much more. So let's get into it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, Megan, do you have a favorite Toni Braxton song?
Unbreak My Heart.
Okay, wow, the titular.
Absolutely. I mean, like, it's one of those songs that, like, is perfect for, like, a breakup. Mm-hmm, I think it's, like, perfect for a movie montage of someone going through it. Like, you hear it and you just go, this is a woman in pain. Like, it immediately takes you to her crying in the shower.
Yes.
Like, I see her crying in the shower and I know where, like, my heart is unhappy, but it is being filled with chicken noodle soup.
We love that. I love her first album, her self-titled Toni Braxton, 1993. That album was it. It was iconic. The cover with her with the pixie cut and, like, the off-the-shoulder jacket. And it was like, I am obsessed. Every single song on that album is a banger. But also I say banger, even though they're all, like, ballads and sad.
Yeah,
except Seven Whole Days. But I was like, that to me, like, her music to me is also just so, that album, I'm like, it is the early 90s. It is the early 90s R&B in a nutshell.
And her voice is so unique, so recognizable. I'm sure there was, like, a Simpsons parody of it at some point. Like, it's just, like, you hear it and you go, oh, that's Toni Braxton. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, voices, especially Black female artists, you know, those are the voices. You know, we've got Whitney. And so, but that Toni, it's just, like, that baritone, mm-hmm. that low register.
Yes.
And I usually love a falsetto, but she really, it's like warming. It just really, truly is like cozy. And I think she tends to do those ballads and those sad ballads because like that is what her voice is made for.
Well, but this is what's so interesting about the movie, because I get the sense that perhaps that wasn't even her plan. Like she didn't want to necessarily right. just do sad songs. But I'll tell you this. So the movie starts out, and I'm surprised because it starts out with an actress playing Tony. And because we've already seen Tony in Fallen Angels Murder Club, I assumed she was going to play herself, but then I was like, okay.
We know she can act.
Exactly. We know she does it. We know she does it. So I was like, oh, maybe because we just came off of Keisha Cole too, like playing herself, like through over like, you know, 15 years. I was like, oh, Tony could do it. Tony looking good. But we have an actress who is like the prettiest, cutest little thing I've ever did see.
Gorgeous.
But, you know, we start off and Tony's performing on stage and then she collapses. And then we hear Toni Braxton herself, real Toni Braxton, doing the voiceover. So I said, okay, thank God. Thank God Tony's here.
She's here. Yeah. And not only do we know she can act, we also know that she's aged gorgeously,
right.
which is not that easy to do. So when the actress collapses, I'm obviously very concerned for her health, but I'm also concerned because she is in the shortest dress I've ever seen. And now she's laying on the ground. And I go, cover her nether regions. You know, like I really go into mom chaperoning a dance of like, we need to block the parts. And you see gals, even I had like a pajama short the other day and CJ was like, I can see your booty cheeks. And I was like, oh my God. And this is in the safety of my own home. But you see these gals with these gorgeous legs. Now you have gorgeous legs. What's the shortest? You do. You have incredible legs.
You're very sweet.
I wish we got to see them more. What's the shortest you'll go?
Probably 3 inches above the knee.
Okay.
Maybe.
I thought you were gonna say 3 inches down
from the booty.
Yeah.
Never. Because I hate that feeling of like air, you know what I mean? Or like feeling like, because what I especially feel like with clothes, I don't like, because I used to do this a lot when I was younger and trying to be cute. I would get clothes, but then I would spend the whole night futzing with them. Like it's the same way I won't wear strapless. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be having to constantly hike up a top. I don't want to have to keep like smoothing down a butt. I want my coverage.
And you grew up in New York City, and there's nothing more jarring than wearing a dress, sitting on the subway,
yes.
and going, oh my God, my butt and my parts are touching the
Thank
New York
you.
City subway.
Thank you.
It's a wrap.
Oh my God, I saw a girl in the subway once, Megan. It was so upsetting. She comes and she sits down and she's not looking. There is moisture in that seat.
No.
And she was in a little skirt. And she like sits and it's like so fast because basically it's like the seat that's right by the door. Do you know what I mean? So she kind of like sat, was like, oh, good seat. And she's kind of like slid. And then she kind of sits and then she's like, and jumps up. And I said, oh, baby, go to the gyno.
And like that, you know, I'm anti GoFundMes when it comes to like my eyelash extension fella. You know, like we're funding for so much. And I go, send it to the American government. This is their fault. But for a gal to sit in moisture in a mini skirt, I go, I'll send money. You know, write your Venmo on your thigh and I will send it to you immediately.
But that opening moment, you know, again, it lets you know where we're going to go. It almost kind of has that setup. Sometimes our classic Lifetime films where you like start off with the body and then work backwards. So this one is like start off with the collapse and now let's explain. And then we flash back to the Braxton sisters' younger days. And immediately I feel at peace because Debbie Morgan,
yes.
Blacktress extraordinaire Debbie Morgan. She is the matriarch. Okay. And I said, Debbie's
on. Does she have this time?
I said, does she have an overall deal with Lifetime? Does she have an overall?
She must.
Does she? They said, Debbie, we need you.
She played Keisha Cole's mom and Toni Braxton's mom
in
this incredible month of event films. So there's actually, right when I was stuck trying to get out of the parking garage, there's a giant billboard for all of these movies.
Voices
so I was
of a
just
Lifetime.
Staring at it.
Yeah.
Yes, at staring at it and almost being like, oh, now we're at T-minus 8 hours until I need to be recording that. You know, like it was like pretty ominous. But as I'm sitting there looking at it, I go, Debbie Morgan belongs on this billboard.
I know. Well, also, too, she's the mom of these. Do you remember she was also the mom in Merry Little Christmas, the Kelly Rowland movies? So she's the mom of the iconic singers. They may be having the contract. They'll give me Debbie Morgan.
And the Littles, that's a whole entire cinematic universe of like, I think at least 4 films now.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was Debbie, because wow. The one we watched, she was like on an iPad because she like couldn't be with them because she was snowed in.
Right. So. Yeah, work got stuff. Good for Lifetime for recognizing a star and saying, we're putting the network on Debbie Morgan's back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Debbie said, I'll do it. She said, I can carry it.
So the sisters are singing. They're very religious.
Yeah.
And so Toni is, I believe, the eldest, and she is sitting at the piano playing. So a musical genius to me.
Yeah.
As someone who drove two piano teachers to move across the country, as my brother said. And so she's playing and singing, and then four other sisters. So there's five sisters.
There's five total. So Toni and her four sisters. There's Toni's the eldest. Tracy, Tawanda, Trina, Tamar. Okay? That's all of them. All the T's. Okay?
And Tamar is the one that is like the second most famous to me.
Yeah, and she's the youngest, and also with the reality show, she was the most explosive. You know what I mean? Like in terms of like moments on the show and stuff. At least that's what I think of her as.
Right. The oldest and the youngest to sort of be the standouts. And then it's like the others kind of get lost. So then L.A. Reid, who is a musical.
We know. Again, it's the 90s. This is the 90s. We know. He's right. In charge of everybody.
Him and Babyface come in to see the sisters perform. Now, little known fact, Babyface from Indianapolis. Okay. I mean, and one of the highways is called Babyface Highway.
Really?
So, but it's like, it's not a big sign. It's like a smaller sign.
Yeah. I think that's good because it is weird to be like, I'm on Babyface Highway. So I think they had to make it small. It's more, you know, honorary. But they come in there because they're here to listen to the girls sing. But here's the thing. The story I have always heard about Toni Braxton is that she was discovered pumping gas. Okay, I'm going to tell you that right now. What I heard, it was somebody, and it's like, when I look up her Wikipedia, they say, it was like, so-and-so, she attended Bowie State University to obtain a teaching degree, but decided to sing professionally after she was discovered by William Petaway Jr., who reportedly heard her singing to herself while pumping gas. And it's in a Vibe magazine article.
I was going to ask, how was a singer discovered pumping gas?
She's doing her own gas. And first of all, the way the movie, it's like the Braxtons are always singing. They can't stop. So she's like pumping gas. Yeah. And she's like, probably like, not at the top of her lungs, but come on. We know that richness of Toni. And they were like, and some guy was like, girl, you got the stuff.
Like, and she's also gorgeous.
Well, hello.
Must have been born beautiful.
I know. So I wonder which one is like the true one, or if the gas was the urban legend, because obviously it's like the fun drama story of it. But
yeah. So in this scenario, all the sisters are singing together
as a group.
And then Toni sings a very sultry rendition of Our Father.
Yeah.
Which I had
prayer.
Never actually heard sung.
I said, is it sensual? She made it sensual. Okay. She made it sensual, quite honestly. And you can see Ellie and Babyface are like, they're like, we like her tone. But you can also tell they're also like, we don't need people singing prayers. You know what I mean? Like, they like her voice, but they're like, what is this religious stuff?
Yeah. And and Debbie Morgan is giving mom a sure, for sure.
Absolutely.
Which I'm sure doesn't actually like make anyone's eyebrows raise, because that's how every single mom of every single child star is. If anything, they're like, great, we have a mom who's willing to do anything. So we cut forward a little bit. Toni is at home by herself. Everyone has gone to church. Their dad is a minister. They are in the church.
Yeah.
Like, they are a church family. They don't listen to quote unquote secular music. I was like, I don't even know what that is.
Mom wants them to only do clean. Like, she says literally before they even start talking to Babyface, where she's like, I only want them doing clean music. And it's like, okay, ma'am, why don't we just listen to them first and just see what happens?
Yes. So Toni gets a call from L.A. Reid, thinks it's her brother having a little laugh. It's the actual L.A. Reid. And he is offering her a record deal. But the catch is, it's just her, not her sisters. And the audition had been like, as the Braxton sisters.
Right. So now, of course, when Toni tells her family the news, they do not take it well. Listen to this.
The devil is raging.
The Face Records only wants to sign you.
But we're a group.
They said that they just signed another girl group and can't take on another one.
So they just went and picked you?
So this means we're not gonna be famous.
Braxton, do you see what's happening? Evil has come crashing into our house.
Evelyn, calm down.
Calm down? The enemy is trying to break up our family.
I don't have to take it. Okay? I'll call him right now and tell him that it's all of us or none of us.
Tracy, you give your sister the phone.
Okay, so it's Satan at work. It's Satan at work. Oh, God. It takes, like, so it looks like this. You only see him in the beginning, but, like, the brother, it seems like Michael, who's like, I think Tony should do it. And you're like, oh, thank God.
Love Michael.
There's like, but you never see him again. You never see him again.
No. And that's, I have a brother, Michael. He wouldn't do the podcast. So, you know, there's always been a brother, Michael, looming over this podcast. Oh, no, he did do the podcast. It was my brother, Ryan, who wouldn't, because he's a lawyer. My brother, Michael. A good one. No, they're both good.
Realtor. Michael Realtor.
Yes, Michael Realtor. Now, you say, like, of course the family was against it. I understand the sisters being disappointed. And this is when church people really, I struggle with them. It's like, they're mean. The mom is mean.
Yes.
And doesn't seem to actually have the light and hand of Jesus guiding her through life. Because she is so mad at her daughter for being, having more star quality?
Well, it's also like, to me, it's just mean, but it's also like, Satan, really? Calm down a notch. Do you know what I mean? Like, the idea that it's like, they're trying to rip our family apart. It's like, why can't somebody go off and make a life and do something on their own? Why can't she try something? I, like, you know, baby sister Tamar is pissed. She's sulking the whole time. Like, she's real mad. And to me, I was like, that was the most honest reaction of, like, I want to be a star too, which I think you can see at play.
I get them being mad.
But that's the real response, is I want to be a star too. It's not the devil is taking us.
Exactly. And it's strange too for these very church-like people. Why is being famous so important to this mother?
Yeah,
it's like, I would think you'd go, oh, okay, well, this is God's plan. And now, Tamar, you will be a Sunday school teacher. Right. And the other three T's, you will be wives.
Well, but then we find out, right? We learn, as Dad points out, the mom, Evelyn Braxton, Debbie Morgan, also turned down an opportunity for a solo singing career back in the day. She was in a group, and she got an offer, and she said, I stay with my group. And the dad was like, and how'd that work out for you, basically? He was just like, did you get another chance, you know?
Now you got six kids.
Exactly.
So that seems like that was an L. No.
But
children are a blessing.
I don't agree. And so the mom is basically like, makes her promise to come back and help her sisters. Like, if you're going to go do this, you got to come back and help your sisters. And to me, that pressure is worse than the pressure to become famous or have a hit song, right? Because you're already going in like, I hope I have a career. But now, like, and I don't know if you feel this way too, like when this happens, where I feel like people don't realize how long it can take to feel secure in a career or how quickly it can go away. Like, for instance, people have come out of the woodwork asking me for a job or a connection.
Yes.
Like, you know, maybe this happened to you when your thing was posted. Like, when there's a deadline
article.
Whenever
something's
like,
in deadline.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people don't get that it's like, well, first of all, that's just saying, like, we started writing or we've even finished writing. They just want to look busy as a company. But it's like, you don't realize, like, I ain't even set yet.
I can't get myself anything.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, it's a really, well, and I think this happened in the Keisha Cole too. And as I said on that episode, it happens with athletes, like this added pressure of, well, now I've got to elevate my entire family. Like,
exactly.
That's a lot when it's hard to elevate just yourself.
Well, and especially when your family is like seven bitches, when you got like seven people. It's too many people. If it was like, oh, this is my sister, I'm going to get her a job as my assistant. I'm going to help her, whatever. That may be one thing. But when it's
that's
like four
payroll.
Sisters, mama got a dream. It's like too many people on payroll. That's why Joan Rivers had to work till she was 85. Because she had.
Yeah.
She was paying for, like, you know, everybody's schooling and college and everything.
She was
like,
a single mom, too.
Yeah. And but like everybody she ended up having, she was like, I'll help you. I'm like, and that's why you end up having to work until you're 90. So.
Yeah.
But she goes, and Tony, and here's the thing though, because you said Tony is the older one, but this is where, when Tony gets to Atlanta, this is where I get a little confused. She is such a, and I think even as she grows up, the actress portraying Tony makes her very childlike. Like, she's very wide-eyed, kind of whispery, very deferent to everyone. She don't know nothing. And, like, the first thing we see is Pebbles. Pebbles sound like a toddler with marbles in her mouth. I couldn't handle Pebbles. Looking, like, kind of like a Barbie. And she says, like, she's like, we have an apartment for you. Like, you know, it's part of your artist budget. And Tony doesn't know anything about it. And I go, honey, mm-hmm. we don't watch the TLC story. We know there's about to be a problem. We know, like, an artist not knowing the details of the contract. We saw it with Salt and Pepper. Like, we keep seeing it.
I know. Well, and I think that she is that naive and wide-eyed. And I think that's the influence of the church. Like, we heard she wasn't even allowed to listen to the radio. So this is someone who is very talented, but also very sheltered, despite the fact that she's probably 21 years old.
Well, this is what I was wondering. I'm like, how old is she in all this? Like, I couldn't figure out if... So if it's, she was born in 67. So when she's there in like 91, she's in her 20s. She's 24, 25. Yeah. Like I was like, is she 19?
But you know, when you meet people that have never been anywhere and like, you know, it's almost like she's breaking Amish at this point.
Yes. It's giving real breaking Amish.
Yes. We have a really fun montage of her getting a makeover, and like any makeover montage is like my favorite part.
Yes.
We see her get her short haircut.
The signature pixie.
She's the one that suggests it. I thought it was going to be at America's Next Top Model. Me too. When they like cut her hair and she cried.
Yeah.
She's like, cut it all off, whether that's what happened or not. And she, of course, has the face to pull it off. Her and Hallie, they both have it.
Yeah.
What I would give to be able to have the Tinkerbell. And then we see a makeup artist give her what I believe to be Accutane.
Yeah, they don't name it, and I bet they can't legally, but I was like, oh, it's got to be Accutane.
No, of course not.
It's got to be Accutane.
But they make it seem like he gives her meth. Like, it is like, he like hands it to her, like in the way it's that like it would secret. Be like a drug trade. And he's like, you're not trying to get pregnant, are you?
He's like, what is it? He's like, it's for your skin. And it's like, I was like, oh my God. And then she also talks about getting a boob job. And Pebbles is like, yeah, we can pay for it out of the artist budget. So I'm thinking, okay, this is all a bunch of stuff they're going to pay for up front and then take from her when it's all said and done. Now, it's so funny to me. We see the moment. So basically, she's early on compared to Anita Baker. And it's so true. They both have that deep sound, those lower registers that like just like warm, chocolatey voices. And so the first song she sings, Love Should Have Brought You Home, which is like, I was like, that's iconic Toni Braxton. I never knew until the movie that this was actually a demo she was supposed to do for Anita Baker. And then Anita Baker was like, I can't do it, but you should have her do it. So it was like, and I was like, that's the dream.
Which is women helping women. Women helping women. That's when you leave the ladder down. You don't pull the ladder up behind you.
Well, we love Anita Baker. My aunt is friends with Anita Baker. I bet they haven't talked in years now. They used to wash dishes together in a restaurant back when they were like
in Detroit.
Back when they were like 19, 20. And I met her when I would have been like 10 or 11. She had like come to a cookout. And she was like, Anita Baker's a real one. Okay. She was washing dishes and she was still talking to the people she knew from back when she was washing dishes.
Your aunt should have been in that Music City Christmas movie we did. You know, when they like looked at the wall, it should have been Anita Baker and your aunt washing dishes together. I wish that had been a photo. So Toni, it was the Boomerang soundtrack, right?
Yes, another iconic that movie.
So she sings the song and then they're filming the music video and the sisters are there. And so even on her very first single, she is able to go, okay, I'm going to bring my sisters along.
Yes.
Which is huge that she even asked for that and huge that they allowed it.
Right.
And the mom is on set, of course. And all the girls are in the shortest skirts. And I'm like, and what the mom is okay with seems very strange to me.
Well, it's as you said, it's giving Kardashian Jenner, where it's like, well, what's going to break her out? Because you see a moment where the family's watching her perform and she's in a dress, right? And they're like, that dress is one of the sisters is like, is that dress too short, isn't it? And then someone else is like, no, it's nice. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell they all kind of had this. Again, they all wanted that fame too.
Fame trumps Jesus is truly what I learned.
Well, Jesus is the most famous person of all time. So, you know, in so many ways, it's like you just want to be near fame, right? Like, dad's a minister.
Yeah. Jesus is the most famous black man of all time.
Clip it out. Play it on loop. Megan said it. Okay. Now, one of the things I noticed, though, is like the whole dynamic, and this is where, again, because she does come she's giving fresh off the turnip truck. But what I couldn't stand, and I don't think the movie was even heavy handed about it. I think they kind of did it in a way that was relatively direct, but I just was crazy. She's constantly trying to talk and push back against what she wants. And she's constantly surrounded by these men who just shut her down and are like, we know what's best, Toni. And it was like so gross to me. Cause I was like, she is a grown adult. She's like 26, 27 years old. She is the talent. She is the reason this stuff. Yes, it's like well produced and all that. Of course, I'm not gonna say Babyface didn't do stuff, but they literally talk to her like she's a little kid who's just like, go sit over there and then get up and sing, and I don't want to hear about it in between.
So she gets an opportunity to open for Kenny G. Listen to this.
Open up for him on tour, and you get that fan base.
Look, I feel you on the exposure, but I think it's being risky with her core fans.
Scott, the label loves the idea.
Exactly.
So it's pretty much a done deal.
Start with the Kenny G tour, then follow with your own world tour.
Can I say something?
Of course, Tony. What's on your mind?
Well, if we really want to go younger, I was thinking that I need to go sexier.
Exactly. No, Tony, no. You don't sell sex, okay? You sell pain. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. What about the Diane Warren demo,
Unbreak My Heart?
Yes.
I don't think it's sexy.
I think you need to listen to it again, Tony.
I don't know, Ken.
You know, Tony, can you just trust us on this one? Please.
Have you ever steered you wrong?
And now, this is the thing that's so weird, is like, they haven't steered her wrong, right? The songs have been hits. Her album goes quadruple platinum. L.A. Reid buys her a Porsche because she was like, I'm going platinum. And he's like, well, if you go, because he was like, you're going to go gold. And she goes, platinum. And he goes, if you do that, I'm going to buy you a car. So it's like, you see where you're like, well, they do have business sense. But at the same time, it's also like, you sell pain. Like, for somebody to tell a woman, you sell pain, as they continue to, like,
26,
yes,
maybe?
And they manipulate and gaslight her the entire time. I'm like, oh, that's a mess.
Yeah.
But then, isn't that so funny to think that she didn't even like Unbreak My Heart at first when she first heard the song?
Well, it's funny because she's like, I want to be like a sexy gal. And they like laugh at her.
I know.
And they're like, no, you're kind of like a girl next door. But she is a sexy gal because I absolutely remember this white cutout dress with the belly chain.
Yes.
And they have it in the movie. And that's what I have really loved about these movies is like some of the styling. I'm like, oh my God, they nailed it, because I immediately felt transported back to the first time I saw that dress.
Yeah. They really, costume designer was on point. I wonder if Tony was like, you can take it from the closet. You know, like I was like, she still had it.
Yeah.
I was like, give us this. But basically, you know, she goes quadruple platinum. Everything's a hit. We then see her going on a world
tour. She gets a Porsche.
Has her Porsche. She's on a world tour. Her sisters are on the tour. They're her backup singers. She's done what her mother asked. But even when they're like recording the video, the mom is like trying to go up to L.A. Reid and be like, I thought all the girls could have a solo. It's like, no. This is not a group. Tony's a solo artist. But she's trying. But you see her starting to flirt with the keyboardist who's from Mint Condition, who I guess was the opening act for her tour. And so at first I was like, okay, they're about to get together. But then the first thing he says is like, hey, the band has not been paid.
Yeah. And I thought he was going to ask her out. He's like, I don't know how to say this. And like, since they'd been flirting, I was like, ooh, here's the moment. And then he was like, I need my money.
Exactly.
I didn't understand. So the show is selling out, but she's not making any money. And it was because there weren't like sponsor. It seemed like a mismanagement, but I didn't fully understand the business of it.
Well, because I guess what they're saying is the tour is on such a grand scale. What it takes to, also too, you got your whole family's backup singers. So you got four backup singers you got to pay. You got to pay your opening act. You've got to pay all of the tech, right? This big tour, lighting, rigging, sound, all this kind of stuff. And all of that. And there's nobody paying that bill. If it was like Toni Braxton brought to you by Arizona Iced Tea.
By Ticketmaster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It would have been like,
Okay. And so, but like, it's like, why didn't they get her sponsor?
Well, exactly. That's what I don't get. That's what I don't get.
And so she's like, listen, it's all going to be fine. I'm about to get a royalty check. And then I'll be able to like pay everything. And then the check comes and it's $1,900. And Naomi, when I saw that, I go, oh, I've been there. You know, in this industry, you're like, oh, listen, I'm about to have this check come in.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be everything. And then you get it and you go, well, I got to go back to nannying. You know, like, it's actually, and this is not good.
Absolutely. And so she has to declare bankruptcy. Her sister's got to pay for dinner. The house has to be repossessed. She ends up having to, like, sue LaFace Records. And it's so sad, like these moments of, and this goes back on, this is why I try to read my contracts. This is why I say, you ain't replacing me with AI. You ain't using my voice or nothing. And it's like this stuff where it's like, she was so excited to be a star, start this career. But it's like, you actually see, because the press sort of paints her as like she's a big spending pop star. She declares bankruptcy and it's, quote, all her fault. But then of you see in court, you know, at one point the judge asks Babyface, you know, if you had been given the deal that, you know, you guys gave Miss Braxton, would you have signed it? And he says to the judge, no, I wouldn't have.
Wow. Which ends up leading to her getting a $22 million settlement.
Yes.
Which is incredible. Like, I feel like we so rarely hear of artists actually winning these. Like,
yeah.
Kesha still has to make music for the man who assaulted her.
Exactly.
So it's like, the industry is so messed up.
Right.
But as part of the settlement, she is not allowed to discuss it for a decade. So all of this bad press about her being the reason of the bankruptcy and spending too much, she can't go out and now say, no, that's actually not true. They had to pay me. She just gets the money and has to take the bad press.
But then the thing I also didn't get was she stays with LaFace Records. And I was like, was that also part of getting the money? Because I was like, why would you continue to work with people who looked you in the face and lied to you and stole from you for years?
And why? Can you imagine suing your agents and then being like, yeah, I still want to work with you? Like, it's like, that's, I can't believe what they would want to work with her. Like, both of it. I, you know what? And I looked it up afterwards. Her and Babyface's relationship seemed at times to be more than just professional. Mm-hmm. And it was like kind of, even when I was like Googling it, it was like, yes, they were like maybe linked romantically at times. So I do think there was like a genuine deep connection there, and it's probably his good Indiana roots. But I did find the lines to be a bit blurred between
them.
And I'm not saying that in a negative way. Like, it was like they're friends. Because like sometimes they're holding hands on the red carpet, but it's like, oh, they're just like really proud of the song. I don't know.
But then, like, when she's kind of coming out of this, she's falling for Carrie, that piano, the keyboardist from Mint Condition. And then they end up getting married. They have two kids. The kids are named Diesel and Denim. I'll skate by that. And then there is a wonderful moment where, that to me is not really part of the story of Toni Braxton. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're really following Toni's ascent. But then I think, again, because Debbie has this overall deal.
And her family is so intertwined with the story.
No. Debbie said, give me a moment to Debbie. Okay?
Yeah.
Because there is a tumultuous scene where Debbie is screaming and throwing stuff because she finds out that her husband, the Reverend, has been cheating on her with another woman for 9 years, Sandy.
Years.
I need to take a damn break, because between the emotional roller coaster Debbie just put us on and the fact that I was not prepared for Dad's treachery, the Reverend's treachery, we need to take a quick break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, we're back. I've collected myself. This is obviously a huge reveal and stuff like that, but because it was the story of Toni Braxton, I was like, wait, why now we over here? And I said, you know what, let Debbie do her. But then Toni says in voiceover, you know, this moment irreparably changed the family forever. So I was like, again, I get that this is a big moment, but narratively, I actually found like I was a little confused. I was like, I don't know how this, unless you're going to now show me like, okay, now me and my father don't talk anymore, and this is why we decided to you know, have a Braxton family show.
And this is why I don't trust men. And this is why I've had issues with, yeah, 9 years is so crazy, especially from a minister. But I guess, like, you know, Jamal Bryant, he loved people in his congregation. Like, this happens. But I said, Scandoval was only 9 months, and look how mad that made people. This is 9 years, and they have 6 children together. So after that, Toni gets a Vegas residency.
Yes.
And the reason she did this, which is why every single artist has ever done this, is because she wants to take her kids to school in the morning. And a Vegas residency, you get a big old mansion in the middle of the desert. You do the same show every single night.
Or do they put them in, like, the hotel penthouse? Or am I just thinking of hacks? Like, I just thought they
No, because they don't want to. I think when you, like, Adele lives far off in the desert. Okay. Brittany lives far, not far off, but they off the
away.
Strip. Because you have kids. You can't just have your kids running around Caesar's Palace, as someone who's done that.
Like, they're Eloise?
Yes, exactly. No, because they in Vegas, you smoke in the... in the casinos still. So it's like, it's just not
it's not for children.
Vegas casinos is not for children, despite the fact that I've brought my child to Las Vegas 700 times and I'm going again in 2 weeks. But we take him off the strip. Lola lives off the strip in Henderson.
Okay.
And so she's very devoted to Denim and Diesel during this time, taking them to school. There's a really, really heartbreaking moment where I actually think the school handled this poorly.
Oh.
Where they asked Diesel to leave the school because his needs are now so great that they cannot tend to them because they believe him to be autistic, which then he was diagnosed with.
But now, why do you think it was bad? Because basically the scene is like the teacher calls Toni in and is like, you know, Diesel cannot be a student here anymore. And, you know, he's nonverbal.
I thought it lacked empathy.
Okay. You felt like she was a little too cold.
And I guess in her defense, Toni was like, oh, no, I don't want to talk to you. Like she's like, have a seat. And Tony's like, no, I'll stand. So it's like an older white woman. She's probably just like, I don't need to listen to this bitch.
Yeah.
But I know people whose children have been asked to leave daycares and schools, and it's got to be.
Yeah.
I just like, can't even imagine that, especially when they're at such a young age. And it's not because they're like bad. It's because like the school is like, we can't. And it's so difficult to find a place and then feel safe at that place.
Yes.
And then to be like, no, you actually need to take your beloved child out of here. And I go, this is Vegas. Like, a Vegas school should be able to handle a lot of things, right? I bet you've seen it all, lady.
Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing, though. So, yes, Diesel is diagnosed with autism. And we see this moment that is based on a real moment, which is, like, she's on stage and, like, has to kind of compose herself because she's, you know, been so upset by this news. And she, like, tells the audience, like, my son was just diagnosed with autism, you know, like, before she performs, which is something that happened in real life. So she's dealing with that. And then she is diagnosed with lupus and a type of lupus that attacks the heart. And y'all, she got a Vegas residency. So she is on that stage every night giving. Listen to this moment with the doctor when she realizes something's got to change.
Frankly, from your test results, you're lucky to be alive.
Okay, so how do we fix it?
Unfortunately, there's no cure. But there are things you can do to help control the disease. First thing you need to do is rest.
Okay, I guess I could take a couple days off.
I'm not talking days. I'm talking months, years, maybe even the rest of your career. You can't go on tour and do big shows like this anymore. I need you to take a rest.
No, you don't understand. Everyone depends on me, my family, my fans. I just renewed my contract with Vegas. They're expecting me for another year, and then we have the kids and those bills.
Hey, slow down.
I can't slow down.
You don't have a choice.
I mean, my God. I will say this, Debbie Morgan is by her side, and I said this is very opposite of the mother you were in Keisha Cole's This Is My Story. But Toni is like, it's hard for her, because what she said, she's like, this is all me, right? Like, she is literally keeping people employed, keeping people afloat. Like,
yes.
Everything. She's like, I have to do this. But that is when we see the moment from the opening, which is her on stage. She collapses. So then she has to cancel the rest of the shows.
And then the venue sues her.
Y'all.
Because insurance, the actual villain of the world is insurance.
Absolutely.
There were a bunch of NBA players that committed insurance fraud, and I said victimless crime. So the insurance won't cover her pulling out of the shows. So then the venue sues her. This woman can't perform. Like, I'm like, She's got a doctor's note.
Yeah. She has medical records that are like, you can't do this. You don't have a choice. You're lucky to be alive. They're like, we got to start you on chemotherapy.
It's absolutely insane. And so then she has to declare bankruptcy again.
Again.
And she's still in that time where she can't talk about the reason she declared bankruptcy from the first one was actually not her fault.
Right.
And to top all of this off, beautiful light skin Carrie is coming at her sideways, talking about how he has too much on his plate.
Yes. Yes. And then they get a divorce. They get a divorce. So I'm saying, y'all, in the final 30 minutes, Toni Braxton is hit with everything you could hit somebody with. Back to back to back. I said, catch a break. And we have another scene. And I'm going to say these scenes are so painful. Talk about cold. You know, when I didn't know that this was, and I like them showing this, but basically, you know, when she declares bankruptcy, I guess the bank auditors, you know, insurance people, they come into your home and probably everything you own, every property, and they are cataloging all of your belongings. They're also now putting a dollar amount on all of those belongings. And literally—
Like your debt.
Yeah. And then the first time they do it, they're like, where are the Grammys? Because she's won 3 Grammys. And someone's like, you gonna sell her Grammys? Like, it's like her sister's like, really?
Who is buying Grammys that someone else want?
I know. I mean, I guess a collector, someone obsessed with Toni Braxton would be like, I have her Grammy. And it's like, do you realize at what cost you have her Grammy?
But that's mean. I think if you were obsessed with Toni Braxton and rich, you would buy it and then give it back to her.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, did you hear about how someone stole the ruby red slippers that Judy Garland wore in The Wizard of Oz? Someone just like stole them. And it's just like, but you don't know who stole them. Like, what are they doing? They're like, you know, it's not like they're trying to like sell them online, but someone just like went in and like stole these. And the shoes apparently are like insured for $100 million. Because, you know, they were like,
oh my gosh,
you know, famous historical, like that movie.
Yeah, but Judy Garland, you know, rest in peace. You can't give them back. So I get them hoarding them and smelling them in bed every night. But a Grammy is an award you win.
Yes.
For your craft, your yeah. art, your skill.
Yeah.
And then you go, I bought one. Like, you're a loser.
It's just like, but both, I feel like in both scenarios, it's not her fault.
No, it's insurance. Real villain, insurance.
It's like terrible. I was like so mad and it made me so sad.
No, it makes me like so furious. It's so heartless. And then you go, yeah, I guess I was confused that I thought a Vegas casino would do the right thing or an insurance company. You know, it's like The Rainmaker, which a book yeah. I've never read, a movie I've never seen, but I do believe it is about insurance companies being evil. I say reboot that with Toni Braxton. Okay, so in 2010, she publicly shares her lupus diagnosis. Now, at this point in the film, I did look up if she had her breast implants removed.
Mm-hmm.
And she did.
Okay.
She did. And that, I've actually heard of quite a few women doing that as of late.
Mm.
Now, she had 90s breast implants. So I think that was like the silicone. It could have been leaking.
Yeah, yeah.
Yolanda Hadid famously had her implants removed because of Lyme disease. So sometimes when women become ill, one of the first things they do is go take them out.
Yeah, I
see. Get them out of here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you have a foreign object in your body.
Right, 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 right. And if you're dealing with something autoimmune, it's like we don't need anything else for it to attack. But then after this, we see a scene where Tony's sisters are like, "We want to do a reality show." You know, we've already pitched it to the network.
Did they watch the Keisha Cole movie?
Well, hello. Especially because I said, Debbie, you're again doing this, because Debbie's all in too. The mom. Again, they all want to be stars. But they pitched the idea to Toni because the network won't do it if she's not in it.
Of course.
But then Toni, rightly so, was like, I don't want cameras up in my face. I'm literally battling lupus. I am in pain constantly. And that was one of those moments to me where I was like, you know, I just really felt for her. Like, and I will say, to be fair, her mom, Debbie Morgan, Evelyn Braxton, is like, you're right. I've asked a lot of you. But she does ultimately do the show. Like, she does agree to do it because, like, her sisters can't have it if she won't agree to do it. But I'm like, your sister is, like, literally
ill,
fighting for her life. Fighting for her life. And you said, we want to do a reality show? It's like, could you read the room, sisters?
And I know stress really triggers
yes.
autoimmune diseases.
I think there's an episode of the show where you see her, like, go into surgery. And it's just like, I don't think she needed that.
I know on reality, the way they get people to open up these parts of their lives is they say, you could be helping someone who's watching. You are raising
yes,
awareness about lupus, ugh. About Black women's health issues that are obviously the medical system is beyond racist. And so I'm guessing that's how they convinced her to do it.
Well, talk about the racist medical system. I told you how, right? I was like, because I've been having my relaxer for so long, and I was like, I'm getting everything checked out because it significantly increases your risk of uterine cancer. And when I went into the doctor, who was a white lady, because I already say this, how she was like, I've never heard anything about that.
Yeah, she said she hadn't heard that.
And I was just like,
well, and you know what? So my mom listened to that episode and texted me without any context, no preamble, and said, Naomi's right. That is the case. So Peggy's a nurse. Peggy's a nurse. And she co-signs it. So she'll call the doctor.
Thank you. Thank you.
If you want. If you want. Hello, I'm Peggy from Babyfaces Indianapolis. And Naomi is right. Because that's how it, there'll be no context. And the secretary will be like, who? What? Who is Naomi? Who is Babyface?
So I was like, this is insane. But basically, Tony, it seems like what we're seeing towards the end is that, like, she's in a good place with her like, medication regimen, like lupus and stuff, right? Like, because she's basically like, it's brought on by stress. So, you know, I have good days, I have bad days. We're seeing her, she's doing the show. She seems to be doing okay. But then she says she's, like, retiring from music. You see her, you know, being interviewed where she's like, I'm kind of done making music. And then she starts to get all these calls and texts from people who are like, Tony, come back. And then Babyface shows up at the door. Shows up at her house and is like, you must sing. And that's when I agree with you. That was the moment to me where I was like, what was their relationship? You know what I mean? For someone who like led to her bankruptcy the first time, but then also kind of like helped make sure she got money, but then also was always hanging out at the house. I wasn't sure.
And they sang duets together that were like romantic, which people do when they're not in romances, but it was like, you guys are really selling this. Naomi, maybe we should say we're retiring, you know, and just wait for the calls to pour in.
Retiring from comedy. I'm retiring from stand-up. With 2 half hours under my belt. I'm retiring from stand-up.
I'm retiring with, oh boy, a mortgage I have to pay and a bunch of clips that have mean comments. I'm retiring. And everyone would go, that's nice.
But they start to work together again. And you see that, like, Babyface is doing what he had been doing from the beginning, which is like, I know what's right. We're going to do what I want to do. And Tony was like, nope, not this time. And I said, thank goodness. I wanted her, she was like very nice about it in the moment. I wanted her to be more forceful. Like, I kind of want her, because I just felt like, you've been through so much. You do not need to protect a man's feelings ever again. Okay. You go right there. You go, Kenny, get out of my damn house. You go, Kenny. You ain't telling me how to do it. Especially because she can play the piano. She can sing. She knows music, right? Like, she's not just a voice where you just say, hit this note. It's like, stop it.
You're making me wonder, like, obviously Lady Gaga is a true musician. But, you know, because of the rise of autotune, like, I wonder in 10, 15 years, will Lifetime even be able to do documentaries like this or biopics like this? Because it's like, okay. All right, let's do a biopic on the computer that sang. Like, it's like it really does feel like these type of musicians are, that's a dwindling resource.
Well, it's a dwindling resource. And it's also just those type of musicians, because the music industry is so predatory and because of online music and like Spotify giving people 0.0003 cents for a play, it's really hard to make your living as a musician anymore, right? And like let alone get big enough to then be these people, right? Like, I think it's been, I mean, that I think that's why Taylor Swift dominates everything. It's like, you maybe get one person every 4 years who becomes very big, and then they just have to hold on and then tour the world to make all their money.
And you know, both of you and I, we're not Swifties. We don't fully understand.
No, we don't have that. But like Beyonce, apparently the Beyonce tour, like, Beyonce's literally saving the global economy with this tour. She's got people flying into Warsaw, Poland, okay, just to see her.
Yes.
I said, you're creating jobs. You're a job creator in Poland.
Every gay man I know flew to Amsterdam. Yeah. I said, what's, is it Pride in Amsterdam? Oh, no, it's Beyonce. Okay.
It's Beyonce.
Basically.
But I heard she's not going to tour again after this. Like, or at least not for a very, like,
oh,
this is supposed to be, part of why everyone's going is because, like, everyone's saying, like, this is going to be the last tour for a long time. Like, you ain't going to see her.
Well, because so Naomi and I, we have a friend, a mutual friend, who was like, let's go to both of us. And I'm like, I'm down. I'm down. I'll spend whatever. And Naomi goes, in true form, I do not like concerts.
I was like, it should come as a surprise to no one. It has nothing to do with COVID. Literally has everything. I was like, I don't like crowds.
I saw Lemonade The Lemonade Tour at Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. And it was like truly transcendent. It was at a difficult time. And I've said this publicly before. I don't know why I say publicly, like I'm on Good Morning America, but I've said this before. I was going through a breakup, but in the breakup, I was the Jay-Z. So it was like, you know, like she was mad at him, but I was like, I was kind of the bad one.
Yeah.
But it was, oh my God, I wore this red jumpsuit that had like cutouts right at, you know, the one good part of my body, which is my waist. And it was like, it was backless. Oh my gosh. I did drugs. I had a great time. But it was hell. It was hell getting in and out of Dodger Stadium. Absolute hell.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You might as well just walk. You might as well get there on foot, honey. There's no way.
No. I know, and we did. And so we walked out and went down, and we went to Little Joy, actually. But she's doing SoFi this time. SoFi has some of its own struggles getting in and out of.
Well, every venue here has struggles. It's like you literally either show up 4 hours early or just pitch a tent.
I can't do.
Pitch a tent in the venue and just say, I'm going to be here until things clear up. My thing with a con, like, I don't like a stadium tour. Like, I like to see, when I see a musician live, what I want is that intimacy. I don't want to come and I'm staring at the TV screen, right? Because you're a speck.
Oh, right,
in which
exactly.
case, I should just be in the comfort of my home looking at a TV screen.
Yeah. Yeah, because I actually watched the Elton John Dodger Stadium, like, with my parents on TV. And I was like, I'm actually way happier. I'm doing this. And it was so, it was amazing. But I was like, yeah, I'm glad that we didn't have to, like, hike all over an area that was cleaned out of, you know, Mexican families.
But what we do see here, though, back to Toni, okay, and her journey, because we've totally had to take our tangent, but that's what you love about us, is that Toni and Babyface, they're collaborating again, you know, and Toni's put her foot down and says, why don't we actually listen to me for once? And they end up winning another Grammy in 2015. So Toni's back. Toni's back. She can't help but be a hit maker. She's like, I retired. And she's like, wait, no, I'm back. And thank you for the Grammy. And we end the movie with the real Toni Braxton at the piano, playing and singing Unbreak My Heart. Mm. And I mean, I just love this one. I think maybe because I love her music so much. Mm-hmm. And also, I didn't know anything about her personal life like that. You know, like the stuff about her kids and her lupus, where I was like, oh my God, Toni. And also twice.
And she's a really good actress. I'm glad that she has like transitioned into more acting. Fallen Angels is a series.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we just covered Murder Club.
Yeah, so she's done a few of those, and those are really fun. We loved those. I think we remember we said it had like Shonda vibes.
Yes.
So she's a great actress. She looks gorgeous. There's this moment at the very end of the movie where they have the actress peering in at her two children, and then they like cut to the two children, and then when we cut back, it's the real Toni Braxton. And I was like, they look really similar. Like, she's just so, like, for everything she's been through and her health struggles, she really is a success story. And not just because she's had professional success, that she's alive and well and thriving, in addition to her 67 million records sold.
I mean, my God, iconic, iconic. Now, we've already said the real villain is insurance, bill collectors. There are a few villains here for me. Who was your hero of the film?
Gosh, I know it wasn't in the film, but I would say the gas station where she was discovered. Whoever opened that marathon, kudos to you. I'm trying to think of that. There's not a lot of heroes. Because I actually did like the dad. I did like the dad and then the cheating thing. And I was like, not great.
He was the worst. He was like too low-key during the cheating thing. Meaning like he just kind of came and was like, I didn't
locked
mean for it to happen.
In a bathroom, like
I was like,
coward.
I was like, get out of here.
Yeah. Also, when he was preaching in the church, it was like only their family there. So I was like, oh, I don't think you're not really reaching many people. I mean, Toni is the hero. Toni's voice. And then everyone else, not great.
I will say Toni's brother, who we never see after the beginning of the movie. I said, you know what, actually, in a way, it was heroic of him to say, you know what, I'm not going to get involved in all this. I have no desire for fame, a reality show. He's like, I'll come see a show. I'll come see a concert. But you don't owe me nothing, sis. And in a way, that is heroic.
I do like a theme in all of these, not all of these movies, but a few of these movies. It's just like, white old men doctors at the top of their game, you know? They're like, I'm an expert on lupus. I'm an expert on sickle cell. They swoop in and they really, there you go. I'll go on tour with you. Where are we going?
Oh, well, I always wonder with those old white men doctors in, like, in real life, right? Do you think they even know who these women are, right? Because you always think that, my thing is like, I need to be famous enough that a doctor will try to save my life. That's my goal. And right. I don't know that's going to happen at this rate I'm about to be 40. I feel like they're going to leave me on the table. But when you see these doctors...
Oh my God, what a wild goal.
That's all I want is them to be like, we should try again. We should try again. This brown person is a value.
Mabel needs her.
And I'm like, but then I'm like, do these doctors know, like, when they're sitting here opposite T-Boz of TLC? You know what I mean? Or they're like, well, Miss Watkins, come in.
Yeah, I bet they tell their wives, like, I'm meeting with a singer tomorrow. And the wife is like, you gotta save them.
No, not
or
the
like
wife.
A daughter.
The daughter. The kid is like, I know who that is, Dad.
Yeah. I imagine like a daughter sitting at like the family dinner with her headphones on and like maybe hears her dad say T-Boz and is like, what? And then it's like, you're meeting T-Boz? And then they're like, okay, I guess I'll save T-Boz.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Tony's a national treasure. You guys, that brings us to the conclusion of Black Music Month. Y'all, woo! We did it. We learned about icons.
We saw some pain. We saw some journeys and we heard some beautiful voices.
Beautiful voices. We got voices of a lifetime. We got tea. Mm-hmm. Tea we didn't know about some of these people.
No.
I mean, true. There was a lot. Now, next week, we're taking a little break for the 4th of July holiday, but we are coming back right after that. We're giving you classic Lifetime you know and love. All right. We'll also have a little announcement. But we'll also have a new thriller to dive into. So I want you to enjoy the holiday, okay? This is Megan's time to shine.
It's my favorite
holiday. It's like so gross.
I love fireworks.
It's so gross that this is your favorite holiday. America sucks, Megan. You know America sucks.
It's not because America. It's because I like grilled food and fireworks. And I say, F you, America. No, it's not. No, that's not. I like apple pie. I like burgers. I like hot dogs. I like dip. I like chips. And I like to see explosions in the sky, despite the fact that we live in a tinderbox. We're having a little driveway because, you know, having been to my house, we've got incredible fireworks.
Yes,
here.
You've got views.
And so we're having a little driveway party outside, firework viewing party. And I extend the invite to you and Andy.
Wow, you guys. She invited me on Recorded Media, so there's no going back. There's no going back. So I have to be invited. Oh, my God. This is very exciting.
And it's outdoor, so you can't claim Coco.
I know. Exactly. I'll be there. You know I'll be there. Absolutely. All right. This was so fun. So next time you hear from us, we'll have had a party and a good time. All right? Mm-hmm. We will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
I love a Lifetime movie. If you love Lifetime movies as much as we do, tune into Lifetime and LMN to watch all the new and classic movies that we can't get enough of. Check your local listings to find out what's airing on Lifetime and LMN because it just might be the movie we talk about next. And wait, there's more. Check out the new bomb Lifetime podcast, Crime of a Lifetime, where two amazing hosts take you beyond the headlines of a crime and they get into the nitty-gritty twists and turns of the story. That's my jam.
This podcast would not be possible if it was just Naomi and me, for sure.
Absolutely not.
I Love a Lifetime movie is produced by Aisha Jordan.
With sound editing and mixing by The Podglomerate.
Executive produced by Jesse Katz.
With original music by Blake Maples.
And hosted by Naomi and Megan.
You should know that by now. If you've gotten to this point, you should know that we're the host, okay?
It feels like we don't even need to say it, but we'll put ourselves in the credits.
Copyright 2023 A&E Television Networks, LLC. All rights reserved.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.